It's time for overtime.
Now that's a tourist attraction.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Turns, shoots, scores!
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two on a Monday, June 15th edition of Overtime. A massive weekend in the sports world behind us. Still a lot out in front, including the resumption, the continuing of the College World Series, the FIFA World Cup, the U.S. Open later on this week. It's a sweet spot in the sports calendar. We got it all for you the rest of the way on today's show. Around the corner, headlines and highlights, latest from the NFL, some whip-around coverage, little sprinkle of the WNBA, and, of course, a beefy addition to follow up a huge weekend of the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's get right to it. It was not bad or ugly for the New York Knicks, basically, at all in the postseason. They trailed Atlanta 2-1, but after that, game four against Atlanta the rest of the way, peaches and cream for the New York Knicks as they earn their way back into every game in this year's NBA Finals. They trailed in every all five contests by double digits at one point or another, including a historically great comeback, the ultimate nail in the coffin, game number four, 29 points down. Game five finished the job on Saturday night, 94-90. It's the ultimate don't write yourself off. You got to keep on believing for Jalen Brunson. According to Michelle Smallman,
Jalen Brunson is the definition of it doesn't matter what other people say about you as long as you believe in yourself. Because here's a guy who is a two-time champion at the collegiate level and was drafted in the second round. This is a guy that the Dallas Mavericks had and let walk. This is a guy that when he was brought here by the Knicks, that everyone doubted. He's too small. We shouldn't be building around him. Can he be the guy? Can he be a 1A guy? And he just kept his head down and he kept working. This was a guy that the Knicks believed in so much that they imported his teammates to build the culture of this team around him. This is a guy that no matter what the deficit was, he never wavered. Jalen Brunson is a winner at the highest level. And congratulations to him because he earned this.
It's a hell of a story. Brunson, your worthy finals MVP. There were other candidates, especially Kat early on, OG Anunoby in the middle of the series. But Jalen Brunson, too much for Victor Wembanyama and those Spurs. Brunson just not even stooping to the level of Wemby, according to Alan Hahn of ESPN New York.
I feel like what Brunson did to Wembanyama was the ultimate revenge. And Brunson never went at him, never got mad, never said a word post-game. I got no comment on that, was all he would say. Didn't get into the war of words, didn't show any emotion. Just in the end, what did he do? Put 45 on your floor, sent you home. That's the ultimate revenge. I just ended your season. The best revenge is that. Not getting into the war of words, not talking, not trying to throw a punch. No, I'm not doing any of that. I'm just going to beat him.
Yep. Let your play do the talking. Exactly what the star Jalen Brunson did. First title for the Knicks since 1973. What kind of staying power does this team have next year and beyond? Here's ESPN's Tim Legler.
Now the question is, what are they ultimately going to be remembered as, this group? And you won't know that until you get 2-3 years down the road and see what else they're able to accomplish as a group. So you can't answer that question until you get down the road a few years and to see, do they win another championship? Do they make another finals? Or are there now teams in the Eastern Conference that are going to supplant them here over the next 2-3 years? And as we all know, you can't keep groups together forever. This team could look a lot different in 3 or 4 years if they don't win. So that remains to be seen, but you cannot question that this is one of the greatest single-season, postseason runs in the history of this league. That's pretty obvious to everybody. Now it's, what do you do from here?
And that's Tim Legler of ESPN. Now let's talk about the other side, the San Antonio Spurs. That's a really good team. Got a lot of young talent, including Victor Wembanyama, who Michelle Smallman calls out here as pretty darn immature after Game 5.
Part of the reason why we exalted Wemby and anointed him prematurely is because we could not believe the maturity and the the intention that came out of this 22-year-old. He felt so much more than a 22-year-old kid. He felt like a seasoned vet with the way that he dedicated himself mentally and physically to his craft. But when you're not speaking to the media at points during this run, and when you're not shaking the hand of your opponent after they win, that shows your immaturity. And for Wemby to very publicly say he wants to be the face of the league, he wants to be the greatest to ever do this, you have to be better in those moments.
You know, we talked about that a little bit in hour number one, specifically that handshake fallout. Should he have shaken hands? Yes, that's what you do in sports. And they often tell you to do that after every single game. And the NBA has kind of carved out this unknown rule, this unspoken rule of, you know, don't worry about it till the series goes final, whether that's game four, game five, game six, or game seven. Now, we get a game five on Saturday night. The Spurs largely, can't speak honestly if I know if any of the Spurs, any one Spur, shook hands, but largely the Spurs just left the floor. Chris Canty saying, though, I don't have a problem. I don't blame Wemby for avoiding the handshake line.
I have a hard time crushing him for not showing more sportsmanship to the Knicks after he lost. It's chaos when a team wins a championship on the court. It's a lot going on. They've got the hats, they've got the T-shirts, they're building the podiums and the platforms for the players to stand on to present the Larry O'Brien trophy. Confetti is falling, and it's not your color. I understand not wanting to be a part of that circus. I get that.
And I'm far from an elite athlete. Again, I'd like to think I'm an elite athlete, but I'm not an elite athlete, and I'm not even much of just a regular athlete. But I will tell you honestly, it's a little disheartening. I'm not trying to make this more than it is. But it is disheartening when you see the class, sportsmanship, grace, and elegance of the hockey world when those guys are out there waiting on ice for the other team to finish their hoopla, calm down, collect their sticks and gloves and pucks that are all over the floor. And then you take a moment to go through that line, and it's candid conversation. It's not a one-off, hey, get me the heck out of here. It's job well done, man. I can't believe you're here. So happy for you. Hope I can get there one day. Hey, you're a big hero to me. Whatever it might be. That's so touching from the hockey world. The time spent between coaches and captains and goaltenders, etc., was amazing in the NHL. In the NBA, we get nothing. We get that. To me, it's just wrong. Not roasting Wemby as much as just the process of the Spurs. That's what you do. Set an example. Be a good sport. You lost in five games. This isn't some seven-game heartbreaker. And Canty's point of, well, there's confetti coming down. They're getting this set up. They got their T-shirts. They got their hat. Oh, so you mean there's time? There's time before they set the stage up for you to walk over there and be a functional human being and wish someone well. Job well done, man. You beat us. Even if you want to be a bitter, sore loser, you go over there and present yourself. Put your best foot forward. Put your hand out and say, good game. Even if you don't mean it, go to the locker room. Just shake a hand first. Move on. Spurs, yuck. Not thrilled about that turn of events in the NBA. Draft coming up around the corner. Be here before we know it. Coming up next week, the NBA draft, June 23rd through the 24th. And the Stanley Cup also in final. We were talking about the post-game handshake line there in which the Carolina Hurricanes won their first title since 2006. Rod Brind'Amour, a hero as a player, a hero as a head coach. And here is what he had to say about the veteran, the elder statesman on his roster, 37-year-old Conn Smythe winner, Jordan Staal.
It's an unbelievable ending to a great story, right? Like, you know, I've talked about him enough. I mean, I'm so proud of him. I'm proud that he was able to do that in front of the whole hockey world. And everyone got to see now what I've known forever. What kind of player he is, but a leader. You know, we're not hosting that without him. It's just not even close. But I'm glad for him because I've seen this guy grind it out for 14 years and never waver. Doesn't always work out, as we know, but it's nice to see the good guys get one.
And that's Hurricanes head coach Rod Brind'Amour, first title for Carolina since 2006. They win last night 3-0. NHL draft around the corner June 26th and the 27th. But just how dominant were these Canes this year in the postseason? Here's Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.
Yeah, it's easily one of the most dominant runs I've ever covered. I mean, you know, they ran through some pretty good teams in the Eastern Conference in Ottawa and Philadelphia. Famously had the longest break between two series in 107 years in the NHL. And then obviously did what they did against Vegas in six games. But I think run through the Eastern Conference did for them was give them rest, was give them good health, was put them in a position to do what they did tonight where they hadn't been in that position in previous runs as a group together. You know, as the series went on, the last period of game five, most of game six, you could kind of see which team had the better rest, the better legs, the better focus, and which team had had the longer run to get to the Stanley Cup final. And I think that's one of the huge reasons why the Hurricanes lifted the cup tonight.
Hurricanes also your favorite next year. We'll get that article put out at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. But Carolina number one, plus 700. Colorado, Vegas to follow. And rounding out the top five, Florida and Edmonton. Minnesota Wild not too far back. They are the seventh best odds, seventh shortest odds to win Lord Stanley's Cup next year. Minnesota coming in at plus 1,400, just behind Tampa and just ahead of rival Dallas. In the Major League Baseball world yesterday, Kansas City beat Houston 4-0. White Sox kept up their nice stretch with a 6-4 win against the Dodgers. White Sox are 38-32. Milwaukee all over Philly, 4-0, and the Minnesota Twins win a series 5-4 over St. Louis. Minnesota now 33-40. Here is Taj Bradley on how he felt in the performance just yesterday for Minnesota.
Dialed in, no. I guess you could say that, yeah, but I was just more so excited to put in what I took from the bullpen and just everything we talked about and reminders that I've done from day one to now, just taking into the game.
A lot of praise for Taj Bradley from manager Derek Shelton.
I mean, the stuff was electric tonight. The split was back. I mean, we didn't see the arm side misses that we've seen before. I give him a ton of credit. You know, Pete said in his last bullpen when he came out of it, he's like, that was really, really good. I think he simplified it back down, and I think we saw the guy that we really liked tonight. Just really proud of him. I think the biggest thing with Taj today, though, is you saw the smile back. You saw the swagger. You saw him bouncing off the mound. I don't think we've seen that. That's what we need. We need that youthful enthusiasm that makes you smile every time you have a conversation with Taj Bradley, and we saw that today.
Twins manager Derek Shelton. Colorado Rockies scored 23 runs yesterday in a 23-9 win in West Sacramento against the A's. Rockies not going anywhere fast. They're 27-45, but 23 runs yesterday, something to highlight the season that is devoid of highlights largely for Colorado so far. Elsewhere, Chicago Cubs lost to San Francisco on the road 5-1. Cubbies still flirting right around that 500 mark. They are 37-35. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Royals at Nationals, Padres at Cardinals, Cubs host the Rockies. Twins visit the Rangers tonight, 7:05 the start, 6:30 pregame coverage right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Lastly, for area teams, Tigers open it up against the Astros, a 7:10 go time. In the NASCAR world over the weekend, and the NASCAR world lately has been dominated by Denny Hamlin, who is reportedly contemplating retirement, getting close, but he's really darn good. Three straight wins for Hamlin. One yesterday at Pocono. Next race up is at San Diego on Sunday. 3:00 coverage on Prime Video and HBO. Elsewhere, D1 baseball action continuing from the College World Series. Yesterday, we saw West Virginia suffer their first loss in the tournament. They're not out just yet. Double elimination at this stage. North Carolina beat them 5-2. And then Troy, the little engine that could, the longest of long shots entering the tournament, beat Ole Miss to eliminate the Rebels yesterday 12-8. So they're still alive for now. Today we'll see Alabama take on Texas in an elimination game. Gets underway at 1:00 on ESPN. Georgia and Oklahoma colliding 6:00 on ESPN later on this night, this evening. Now, the FIFA World Cup off and running. Friday night, Team USA had about as good of a start as they possibly could. A 4-1 win against Paraguay, and Team USA early atop the leaderboard in Group D, along with Australia, who beat Turkey on Saturday night 2-0. Now, let's dive in to how good the USA was and what kind of staying power they have. Here's Shaka Hislop of ESPN Soccer talking Team USA.
I can't see the U.S. winning it, but now all of a sudden they put together this performance and has everybody, including myself, recalibrating. Now, there are four-seeded teams in this tournament, England, Argentina, Spain, France. For me, they're the favorites to get to the semifinal because of FIFA using the seeding system for the first time ever. The odds are in their favor. So for anybody to kind of play their way into that top four, they're going to have to surprise quite a few. Again, the U.S. is already surprised in that first game. Maybe they can continue to build on it. I will also say this, like in any sport, you take wins, big wins or not, similarly to losses, on as even a keel as you possibly can, especially this early in the tournament.
And I will say this, Vegas has not overreacted to what they've seen from Team USA. Yes, they've made a jump in the overall odds to win the whole darn thing. Team USA now has the 12th best odds, trailing Belgium and Morocco, just ahead of Colombia and Mexico. Your two favorites still remain France and Spain, followed by England, Portugal, and Argentina. Also over the weekend, Qatar drew with Switzerland. Brazil drew with Morocco. Scotland beat Haiti. Australia beat Turkey. That was on Saturday. Yesterday, Germany obliterated Curacao 7-1. Netherlands drew with Japan in a good game. Ivory Coast beat Ecuador 1-0, and Sweden over Tunisia 5-1. Today at the World Cup, Spain and Cape Verde underway right now on Fox. Belgium and Egypt, 2 o'clock on Fox. Saudi Arabia and Uruguay, 5 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. And Iran takes on New Zealand, 8 o'clock on Fox Sports 1 as well. Let's dive into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. It starts down in Vermilion as USD men's basketball is continuing to add to their roster. Eric Peterson announcing the addition of Ilium Favrai, doing my best with the name there, to the upcoming roster. The 6'5" guard from Paris, France, transfers in from Arizona Western University. Still has 3 years of eligibility remaining. Appeared in 30 games for the Matadors last year and started 9 of those games. Averaged nearly 10 points per contest, 4 rebounds per game. He played for Sluk Nancy Basket in the 2024 France Pro A U21 League, where he averaged 12.3 points, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 4 rebounds per game in 30 appearances. The latest addition to USD Coyote men's basketball. You can meet the new addition, Ilium Favrai, at goyotes.com. Other news to get to locally, tough news to pass along from down the road in Lincoln over the weekend. George Darlington, who is the longest serving assistant coach in Nebraska football history, and a member of the 3 recent national championship teams under Coach Tom Osborne, passed away yesterday at the age of 87. The Nebraska Athletic Department announced Darlington's passing but did not provide a cause. Despite declining health in recent years, Darlington was still out and about, regularly attending practices, and was a fixture in the Nebraska press box on game days, according to ESPN.com. Darlington, an assistant with the Huskers from 1973 all the way to 2002. Born in West Virginia, Darlington played college football at Rutgers before earning 2 degrees at Stanford, was an assistant at San Jose State when Osborne hired him, and served in Lincoln from 1973 to 2002. A lot of great football played in that stretch. And rest in peace to longtime Husker assistant coach George Darlington, just yesterday passing at the age of 87. When we come back on this Monday edition of Overtime, it is time for your dedicated NFL segment of the day. An update on the plug-your-nose Browns quarterback situation. Where do we go from here? Now, there's a lot of talk about how good Shedeur Sanders is looking. Just last week, we got the praise for Deshaun Watson, and Dylan Gabriel still in the corner saying, hey, guys, what about me? Do you remember me? We'll get you that update from Cleveland coming up here soon. Also, updates from around the NFL, including a tragic passing over the weekend of a 37-year-old former NFL pass rusher. That and more on the way. It's a Monday, June 15th edition of Overtime, and it continues after this on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
Stream us online, stream us on the app. Streaming now, Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
It's hour number 2 on a Monday edition of Overtime. Life is busy. Yes, it is. And Quickstar gets it. From fresh coffee and tasty bakery treats to grab-and-go meals, Quickstar is your one-stop shop for variety, quality, and fast service. If you need gas, their fully guaranteed fuel will keep you moving. Plus, enjoy free ATMs, free air for your tires, and clean restrooms at your local Quickstar. They're here to make your life easier with fresh groceries, easy meals, service with a smile. Quickstar, where your day gets better. See you next time. Speaking of next time, head on over to Quickstar and try any of their delicious new lineup of the Quickstar Heartland Ice Cream. Step into something delicious today. It is the newest scoop in the Nature's Touch ice cream family. crafted to delight and surprise. You can grab a pint for just $3.99. Let the sweetness sweep you away. Over the summer, try Waffle Whirl. New flavor featuring creamy vanilla ice cream, chocolatey-dipped waffle cone pieces, and a rich caramel ribbon swirling through every bite. And that is just one of 12 different flavors waiting to be discovered. Heartland Ice Cream by Nature's Touch. One scoop closer to magic exclusively at your local Quick Star. We'll get into the NFL news of the day and news over the weekend right now. We're going to go ahead and dive in to the very tough news that former NFL defensive lineman, pass rusher Aldon Smith passed away over the weekend at the age of just 36 years old. Smith played 6 years in the NFL for the Niners, Raiders, and Cowboys. San Francisco selected him in the seventh pick of the 2011 NFL draft. The team confirmed Smith's passing on Saturday afternoon. No cause of death was given, but I'm sure, stay up to date, ESPN.com, they'll have the update on that news. The Niners organization, in a statement saying, "We are devastated by the sudden and tragic passing of Aldon Smith. Aldon's undeniable talent and sheer dominance on the field were on display from the moment he joined our organization, having recorded one of the best rookie seasons the National Football League has seen. Beyond his excellence as a player, Aldon will be remembered for his infectious smile that lit up every room he walked into. Our entire organization sends its deepest condolences to the Smith family and all who knew and loved Aldon Smith." Once viewed as one of the NFL's top young players, Smith's star-crossed career ended in 2020 after 1 year with the Dallas Cowboys. As a rookie, he had 14 sacks and 27 quarterback hits on his way to finishing second in Defensive Rookie of the Year balloting. He followed with his best NFL season in 2012. He had 19 and a half sacks that year, 29 quarterback hits, and was a Pro Bowler and an All-Pro. Those 19 and a half sacks still stand as a Niners franchise record. And you know all the names that have been there in San Francisco as pass rushers, and lately, of course, the Nick Bosa name is certainly one to deal with. Aldon Smith standing alone atop that single season sack record for San Francisco. Rest in peace, Aldon Smith, age 36. Details, I'm sure, will become available at ESPN.com at a later time. The New York Jets and right guard Joe Tippmann have agreed to a 4-year, $62 million contract extension that includes $31 million guaranteed. This news breaking as of this morning at ESPN. Tippmann's extension could be worth up to $64 million, according to Athletes First, which negotiated the deal with the New York Jets. The 25-year-old Wisconsin Badger alum was entering the final year of his rookie deal, who would have been a coveted free agent next year, but the Jets, continuing a recent trend of locking up their best young players, secured him on a deal that makes him the NFL's 15th highest paid guard based on a $15.5 million average per season. The 2023 second round pick, now under contract in the Big Apple through 2030. Well, news that broke on Friday that is very much superficial and on the lookout for the rest of the offseason is the playing future of one Stephon Diggs. The NFL has now closed their review of Stephon Diggs after determining there was insufficient evidence of a personal conduct policy violation. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter on Friday, the decision comes after the Patriots wide receiver was found not guilty in May of assaulting his private chef in a pay dispute. Diggs had pleaded not guilty in February to a felony strangulation charge and a misdemeanor assault and battery charge stemming from the alleged incident. The NFL ruling marks another step toward the free agent wide receiver landing with the team. Diggs was released by the New England Patriots back in March, and certainly, if you're looking at hurdles to getting that next opportunity, you can talk about the veteran market just being slow. You can ask Tyreek Hill, Deebo Samuel, and many others at wide receiver right now that are looking and waiting for the phone to buzz, phone to ring for an opportunity or interest in their services ahead of the season. It's going to be a while, probably right before camp. You'd imagine most of these names will get scooped up, brought in. Tyreek Hill's a little different. He's dealing with a significant injury recovery and the advanced age. But you'd imagine that these guys are going to have rosters. Stephon Diggs clearing the offseason hurdles that are not on the field necessary to make him more attractive to teams. No NFL discipline, and also cleared of wrongdoing in the specific legal case as well. Well, the Cleveland Browns quarterback competition will extend into training camp, according to Pro Football Talk, NBCSports.com. Head coach Todd Monken told reporters last week he's not yet ready to name a starter. Here's what he had to say. The past 8 to 10 weeks, and really probably beyond that, probably the past 6 months with as a rookie player, in particular as a quarterback, you learn a lot in your first year. That's according to general manager Andrew Berry, especially if you don't start a full season and you go through the year adjustment going into the NFL, then you get a chance to catch your breath and say, here are the things we need to work on. Here are the things I need to learn. And I think he, as in Shedeur Sanders, did a phenomenal job this offseason. So pay attention here with the Cleveland Browns, because they have a lot of different cooks in the kitchen, if you will, at quarterback. They could start Deshaun Watson and maybe try to say, you know what, at least we got something out of him. He was that bridge guy for us before we drafted Arch Manning or Dante Moore in 2027. They could also start Shedeur Sanders. They should start Shedeur Sanders, if we're being honest, because he's got a lot more runway ahead of him. You could talk about the personality, off-field, whatever you want to talk about, or roast Shedeur Sanders on, that's fine and dandy. He's an investable young player. He's not amazing, hear me clearly, but he's an investable young guy, just like a J.J. McCarthy, where you want to say, I want to see what this guy's got. I want to get him out there on the field, give him an opportunity. We know who and what Deshaun Watson is as a football player, even outside of all the legal issues he's had. The overpayment, the absurd contract, he has not been good at football in years. And he could look great in camp. He could be that savvy veteran leader. I don't necessarily have a big issue if Deshaun Watson's on the roster. A lot of people are saying he probably doesn't even belong there in Cleveland. But to flirt around with starting him over Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders, I get that people are saying, Bert, they're just not good. Well, we'll wait and see. I would like to see more of Shedeur Sanders. Dylan Gabriel got a little bit more of a run than Shedeur did earlier in the year, but we'll wait and see. Apparently, it's a two-horse race right now. Talen Green, Dylan Gabriel behind the supposed, alleged leaders in that quarterback race in Shedeur Sanders and Deshaun Watson. Well, of all the great comebacks from injuries in the NFL, we see a few every year that are very inspiring, and if this young wide receiver can make his way back, that would be very significant and a massive boost for his team. Texans diminutive wide receiver Tank Dell has not played in an NFL game since December of 2024, but a return to the lineup appears to be on the horizon. A third-round pick back in 2023, commenting about where he is going from here. Dell dislocated his kneecap and tore several ligaments in a knee during a game in Kansas City and missed all of last season while recovering from his injuries. Here's what Dell had to say over the weekend. I always knew that's the main thing. I always kept that in the front of my mind. Been a roller coaster ride, to say the least. It's been a long journey, but I'm built for it. I'm ready for it. I am here for it, getting through it, and it's a light at the end of the tunnel. I am almost there. Tank Dell, 98 catches for 1,300 yards, 10 touchdowns in just 25 NFL games. Dynamic young playmaker. Couple big injuries young in his career. Rooting for that guy to get back on the football field. And at long last, Hakeem Butler is getting an opportunity again in the National Football League. If you're not familiar with Butler, he was an absolute star and a stud and a massive wide receiver, boundary dude, playmaker at Iowa State. Got drafted by the Arizona Cardinals. Everybody had high hopes for him there. Didn't last long. Also spent some time in the NFL with the Panthers, Steelers, and Bengals. But over the last 3-4 years, he has been the star. Hear me clearly. The star of spring football. Whether it was the USFL, the UFL, the XFL, Hakeem Butler always came to play. And that is also the case this year. Playing for St. Louis again, he's also won Offensive Player of the Year, won the UFL award while playing with St. Louis again this spring. And the Denver Broncos are coming calling. I like the signing. Not really sure how much room there is on that depth chart, but if there's a physical freak that can get it done and contribute to that squad, whether he's going to be a wide receiver 4, 5, or 6, we'll see. But Hakeem Butler earning another shot in the NFL, this one is with the Denver Broncos. Lastly here, some important narrative-driven reporting here from the ESPN.com folks. When Las Vegas Raiders wide receiver Trey Tucker met his new teammate and rookie quarterback Fernando Mendoza, the first thing he thought was that the former Indiana star quarterback was taller than he anticipated. I didn't realize how tall he was. The 6'5", 225-pound quarterback, he's very tall, and he is big. But more than anything, Tucker was taken aback by Mendoza's elite mentality. The number one pick in this year's NFL draft and fresh off a stellar college football season, which he won the Heisman, guided his team to the national title. Tucker said Mendoza came to the Raiders facility every day as if he were an undrafted rookie. Tucker saying that's really what you want for a guy like that. He has a very bright future. Indeed, he does. Big, long article up right now. Commentary from all sorts of people, coaching staff, organizationally, inside the locker room, on the first impressions of rookie quarterback Fernando Mendoza. And I can't say this enough. I can't underscore it enough. And the opportunity the Raiders have with Mendoza is well noted. He's a really good pro-ready quarterback, about the right stuff. Feels like a guy who is going to work his tail off. That being said, it would not be the worst decision in the world to roll with Kirk Cousins week one, week two, week three, as long as he is functional and as long as you can wait to thrust Mendoza onto the field in a division that is going to eat that team alive, frankly, with the Las Vegas Raiders. They're going to be better this year, going to be even better next year, but it's going to be interesting to see how, if, and when Mendoza gets on the field. What the manner is in which he gets to the field, is it an organic week one start? Is it an injury relief to Kirk Cousins? Nobody, of course, wanting to root for anybody to get injured. Is it a effectiveness relief for Kirk Cousins? Is it a slow start for Vegas? And you say, throw the kid in there. We'll figure it out. We'll see about Fernando Mendoza, but a big opportunity in Vegas to get it right with a nice quarterback situation in place with Kirk Cousins and rookie Fernando Mendoza. Lastly, from the Detroit Lions news, Frank Ragnow's days of attempting to play in the NFL are officially over. He's speaking out after announcing an abrupt retirement on social media just a year ago, attempted to make a comeback in late November, but he failed a physical after Detroit's medical team revealed that Ragnow had suffered a grade 3 hamstring strain. To shoot it to you straight, I was trying to will myself to play. My body was telling me otherwise, and I was just like in a paralysis, if you will. I did not plan on retiring in the middle of the summer, believe it or not. I was trying to get like, you can do it for the guys, for the fans. It's who we are. But it was so uncomfortable. One of those things where you have a couple kids, I don't want a sob story. I'm going to be completely fine and everything, but it's one of those where, like, is the juice worth the squeeze? And ultimately, it came down to that decision. Obviously, I struggle with that decision too. Ragnow, very courageous, speaking out, not only about physical health, but mental health, talking about his body, and I just can't do it anymore. Admirable. Great career for Frank Ragnow, but officially calling it quits and commenting a little bit deeper about last year, what all went into the retirement around this time, the attempt to return to play in November, failed physical, and more. You can find that article at ESPN.com. When we come back, we got some whip around coverage from the sports world. And then, of course, a Monday edition of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. You can't afford to miss storylines from around the sports world, little World Cup sprinkled in, and so much more. Don't go anywhere. Monday edition of Overtime continues after this, right here on your Sioux Falls sports leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
X. Don't miss a moment of local college and pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you, set to round out and wrap up a Monday, June 15th edition of Overtime. I am not well-versed enough in the sport of soccer or football, if you will, to talk about the enormity of an upset that we got going on right now. And it's not your traditional upset like a small guy beating up a good team. But what's going on right now is the potential for a draw between the favorite in the tournament, one of the favorites, as in Spain, and a country that is on the very, very, very long odds list. That is Cape Verde. I did not know exactly where this was. I'm actually kind of a geography nerd, but I did not know where Cape Verde is. But it is a 10-volcanic island archipelago, if you will, with combined land area of about 4,000 square kilometers off of the western coast of Africa. Archipelago uninhabited till the 15th century. You're going to learn. Portuguese explorers settled the islands, and now they're working on a 0-0 draw in game number one of the day from the 2026 FIFA World Cup. There are about 4 minutes to go in regular time. Of course, in soccer, they will add some time on top of that for stoppages. So not guaranteed, but you can watch the end of this one on Fox TV, where Cape Verde hanging in with Spain right now. Spain on the shortlist favorite. Cape Verde towards the very, very bottom. They're ahead of about 10 countries. The longest of odds belong to Curacao, Haiti, and Jordan, plus 250,000. But Cape Verde plus 100,000 at DraftKings Sportsbook. They got about 3.5 minutes in regular time. And a little bit after that, I'm sure, to pull off a historic, stunning upset via draw in round number one against the favorite, one of the favorites in the tournament in Spain. We'll keep you updated as long as we're on the air in regards to that score. Time now, though, to wrap up the show the only way we know how. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly from a big weekend in the sports world.
Who's been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side. Whined a bit too much and is now setting a bad example. Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, away we go. We will start in the soccer world with Team USA in the good. Actually, the great news. Over the weekend, Friday night, Team USA cruised past Paraguay to open up their home World Cup campaign with a statement win in front of a galaxy of Los Angeles Stars. Monaco forward Falerin Balogun scored two well-taken first-half goals as Mauricio Pochettino's side served early notice of their capabilities in a convincing 4-1 win. The hosts were straight out of the blocks and took an early lead when Paraguay's Damian Bobadilla prodded a Weston McKennie cross into his own net. The U.S. was irrepressible. And minutes after Balogun had a goal ruled offside, got right back into the net with a second goal for Team USA. He netted two, and the team got one later on. 4-1 opening round win for Team USA. Next game for the United States men's national team will be this coming Friday. Other good news, Denny Hamlin, adamant he still plans to retire at the end of next season, won the NASCAR Cup Series race at Pocono yesterday for his third consecutive win and ended up passing the recently passed Kyle Busch for sole possession of ninth place on the all-time NASCAR wins list. The 45-year-old is the oldest full-time driver in the Cup Series. Last week won his 63rd race in NASCAR's Top Series to tie his former Joe Gibbs Racing teammate on the all-time wins list. Hamlin's eighth career victory at Pocono pushed him ahead of Busch for sole possession of ninth place on the list. Quick update, couple more scoring chances for Spain, but nothing yet in the back of the net. Entering the segment, they had a 23-3 shots on goal differential in the game. So they clearly are the team that should be leading, but it's still 0-0 approaching the 90th minute. Coverage of that one, Cape Verde and Spain right now on Fox. Other good news, all those home games at hitter-friendly Coors Field, and the Rockies never rang up the scoreboard the way they did yesterday in steamy Las Vegas. If this is what big league baseball looks like in Sin City, pitchers might run for cover in a couple years. According to ESPN.com, Willie Castro had 7 RBIs, Hunter Goodman got a career-high 5 hits, and the Rockies set a franchise record for runs with a 23-9 win over the A's on an 100-degree afternoon at Las Vegas Ballpark. Now, moving forward, we'll talk about the UFC fight at the White House yesterday. Dana White stood at the day with the winning fighters flanking him at 3 a.m. this morning, hours after the UFC president and CEO completed one of the more audacious events of his career, a fight card on the South Lawn of the White House. And he made one thing clear. Dana White saying he's never doing this again. I can't afford it. I'll never do this fear again in Las Vegas, and we'll never do this again. White kept to what he insisted for months, that the White House would be a one-of-one event and not the beginning of a trend. White insisted that Sunday's UFC Freedom 250 exceeded all of his expectations, but did say post-match that he can't afford to do it again, but an interesting event put on last night into the wee hours of this morning. And lastly, some baseball injury updates to get you into the good, the bad, and the ugly. Royals first baseman Vinny Pasquantino had surgery yesterday on a fractured hamate bone in his right hand and could miss up to 6 weeks. That is the latest injury misfortune to befall a club that has struggled to live up to expectations this year. Royals certainly not great right now. A 8-7 rain-delayed loss on Saturday. And yesterday, Kansas City, as we look back, harken back to the scorecard. They did find a way to win against Houston 4-0. Their record is 29-43. Lastly, in the good, the bad, the ugly, bad news for the Braves. Spencer Strider's MRI revealed inflammation in his ailing right elbow, and the Braves won't know the next step for their right-handed pitcher until the results are viewed by the team doctor. Strider was placed on the 15-day IL on Saturday, less than 24 hours after he left his start against the New York Mets. He had Tommy John surgery all the way back in 2019, had the UCL in his right elbow repaired with an internal brace in April of 2024, and now dealing with some inflammation in his right elbow. That's all we can tell you right now on the future, immediate future, playing future of Spencer Strider of the Atlanta Braves. That's the good, the bad, the ugly. We'll hang here for one more minute. Get you an update. Cape Verde and Spain still a scoreless tie. And this would be a monumental upset. That's not Spain getting beaten, but them getting a draw when everybody had written this off as a win. Circle it up. I don't know what the comp would be internationally or in the NFL with something like this. This is going to be a very sizable upset. And we'll look tomorrow if this ends up being a nil-nil draw. We'll look tomorrow and see what the retroactive odds were of a draw here between one of the longest of long shots in the tournament, Cape Verde, an island nation off the western coast of Africa, and Spain, the biggest of big boys in the soccer world. Spain and France are your two favorites. And again, these live odds are shifting to favor France now because they're not up against the ropes of a draw with Cape Verde right now. 93 minutes in, 2 minutes to go with additional time on Fox. We're at nil-nil, Spain and Cape Verde. We'll keep you updated, keep you in the loop tomorrow with whatever happens in that contest. Anything else you may have missed. Also tomorrow, David Kahn coming on to talk on the College World Series, where we stand, what teams are looking the part of a national champion, so much more on the Tuesday edition of Overtime. We will talk to you tomorrow when the next edition of the show rolls around right here on your Sioux Falls sports leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.